Welcome to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. And now, experience the good life today.
Aloha from Honolulu, Hawaii. I'm Danny Yamashiro. Welcome to The Good Life. We're here to help unleash your God-given purpose. Carrington Luttrell is the junior high pastor and is involved with Impact 808. Impact 808 is a ministry that uses strongman feats to challenge, encourage, and inspire. He's passionate about seeing people give their lives to Jesus and encouraging and strengthening young men to fulfill the God-given role as the leader of their families. Lindsay Luttrell is the communications coordinator and one of the pastors in the Fuse Young Adult Ministry at New Hope Leeward. Lindsay is passionate about pouring into young women, teaching and planning camps and other events. This dynamic duo, this couple, have been brought together by the Lord and are here today to speak about what Christ has done in their lives and how, through the working of the Lord, He has positioned them to reach others and to speak about an upcoming event that will touch young people across our state. It's a ministry called Explicit Youth, a series of conferences that are being put on. But we pause at the beginning of our show to remind you the heart of the Good Life Radio Show really is to lead you closer and closer to Jesus Christ. That you would know whatever you're facing, whatever you're going through, that there is always hope in Jesus. In Christ who loves you so much, He died on the cross for your sins. He shed His blood on that cross to wash your sins away. He was buried. 3 days later, He rose again from the grave. And my friend, Jesus Christ is calling you. Would you respond to Him? Would you open your heart to Him? Carrington and Lindsay have been married for just over a year. They have a beautiful five-month-old boy named Hezekiah. They have a son named Zane, and they enjoy Starbucks, hanging out with friends, and they are, as I said, a dynamic couple with New Hope Leeward. Carrington and Lindsay, welcome to our show.
Thank you.
Well, I looked at Carrington's long-sleeve dress shirt that he's wearing. It has a plaid look to it. But I looked at the colors, the color scheme, and it reminded me of the Kapolei Hurricanes. And of all things, I realized he played football for the Hurricanes. He was a safety there on their football team. And, you know, safety's got to have a certain nose for the ball, as football players speak. But he was part of the first graduating class. Carrington, how did you get into playing football?
I guess I kind of wanted to be with the cool crowd, and that's where mostly everybody was doing at the time, was playing football. So I liked football prior to high school. I just kind of got into it because of moving towards where the crowd was going and trying to be part of the cool crowd. And just took off from there.
Well, I gave some of it away. Of course, I said, you know, you played for Kapolei Hurricanes, the inaugural class. So did you grow up in Kapolei all your life?
Most of my life, from 1990, I was in Kapolei, from when they first had their first housing.
Yes.
I was raised at Kapolei during that time. So
which section? What was the name of that? You know, you got Kekuilani, Paikou Gardens. You got which one?
It was Kumuiki.
Kumuiki. That was the first one, right?
Yeah.
Kumuiki. Carrington, who influenced you most in your growing up years?
That's a good question. I would say other people's parents.
Yeah.
Yeah, or my auntie. my uncles. Yeah.
Why would you say other people's parents?
I grew up without my dad, so my dad wasn't too much a part of my life. My mom moved away, and then I ended up staying with my mom's sister, my auntie, and my uncle. And I was raised in a household of about 10 people, so cousins and basically their grandchildren. I was raised with them, and there was just a lot of people in the household and not too much inspiration in my life. So was mostly coaching, hanging out with friends and their parents, and just seeing them being parents to my friends were inspirational to me.
So they were, in a way, like examples of parents to you.
Yes.
I sense a tenderness there, Carrington, in that season of your life. How did you feel at that time?
I felt alone. I felt like I was left behind. I wasn't good enough.
What do you remember of your coach? Maybe a coach that really encouraged you, a coach that inspired you. Something a coach said.
Be all that you can be.
Lindsay, where did you grow up?
I grew up in Mililani.
What was it like growing up there in Mililani? Is known as there's a saying, an all-American city, one of the greatest cities in the United States or something. I don't doubt it one bit. I love to be able to visit Mililani. What was it like for you?
I felt like you grew up playing soccer, mm-hmm. or softball, which I did both. But I feel like that's kind of the stereotype of Mililani.
Uh-huh.
But I don't know. I like it. It's central, and you know, there's everything that you need. Almost like you don't have to leave.
Self-contained?
Yeah, kind of.
Who influenced you most in your growing up years?
I think my dad. My dad did. My mom was busy working a lot. And so my dad would always... And my dad was the one that, you know, coached our sports teams and mm-hmm.
Very
stuff.
Involved.
Yeah, so I would say that my dad definitely influenced my life the most.
Mm. Carrington, you talked about being alone. Feeling alone. You connect with people because of that.
Yeah.
Because we live in a world where many are feeling lonely,
mm-hmm.
feeling left aside, pushed on the side, feeling like they're no good or they're not worth much. Or some might even say they don't feel like they're worth anything.
Yeah.
How did you become a Christian?
I basically got to the lowest point in my life. I've been going to church. Other people's parents, my aunties and whatnot would take me to church. So I knew about God, but I didn't have a relationship with God. And throughout high school, after high school, all I pretty basically did was party, you know, party, hang out. I got to this low point where I felt like I had nothing left, where I felt like the mentality of me being alone was just the only thing I could hear. Me being not being good enough. yeah, that's all. That's all I could hear at the time and feel at the time. And I got to this point where I wanted to take my life, you know. And God stopped me at that time.
How did he do that? What happened?
He reminded me of my son. My oldest thing. And that if I left him, or if I continued to do what I was gonna do, I would be doing the same thing that my father did to me. And I couldn't do that to him.
Carrington Latrell, well, as you can tell, dear friend, as you listen in, you know, right out of the starting blocks of our radio program, we're going straight to the gut level. We're going straight to the stuff of life. Yeah, I just call it that, the stuff of life. The stuff of life is the stuff that is not always smooth, it's not always fancy, it's not always glitzy or glamorous. The stuff of life is just that. And sometimes it's painful. Sometimes it's lonely. Sometimes it's confusing. Sometimes it's fearful. And I don't know about you, but, well, maybe I do know. If you're like me, I know what... Can you relate with Carrington? Have you ever felt lonely? Have you ever wondered, do you really matter? At some point, we all go through that. And God sends Carrington and Lindsay to share heart to heart to bring us Christ's hope. Stay with us. We'll be back.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath a barren sky, leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
Danny Yamashiro Ministries presents the Good Life Partnership Club. Join today and receive Danny Yamashiro's inspirational biography, Paradise Calls, as an ebook, a slice of the Good Life CD by mail, a monthly personal letter from Danny that include inspiring devotionals, insider's access of news stories to share, and quarterly newsletters featuring guests, resources, and opportunities for ministry. Plus, a personal invitation to have dinner with Danny Yamashiro this year and a special Christmas gift exclusively for club members. All this for a minimum monthly commitment of just $25 per month at thegoodlifehawaii.com. For less than $1 per day, the Good Life Partnership Club membership will enrich you and multiply by spreading the hope of Jesus Christ to millions across the United States and the world. People like your family and friends. Join today at thegoodlifehawaii.com and click partners. That's thegoodlifehawaii.com.
Active lifestyles are promoted for healthy living. This involves exercise and a range of sporting activities. There are times, though, when injuries take place resulting from sports, work, or even the effects of age. In some cases, surgical care is necessary to facilitate proper healing. That's the time to call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, with offices at both Polymomi and Kuakini. Dr. Calvin Oishi has treated patients with the compassion, care, and expertise second to none. Call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, 484-2042. 484-2042.
There was a time when filling up your gas tank was a full-service experience. The attendant would look under your hood, check your oil and water, check your tires, and wipe your windows, all while your tank's being filled. Burt's Union Service Station on School Street still does it. They also provide auto repair services with master mechanics to give your car the needed fixing to keep it going a long time, so your dollars stretch with a lasting, smoothly running vehicle. Visit them today. Burt's Union on School Street.
Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guests.
When somebody hits the bottom, you know, the bottom of the barrel of life, so to speak, you know, where do you go from there? In the case of Carrington Latrell, he was sharing about what happened at that time. Lindsay Luttrell, his wife, she grew up in a good home. Good home. Dad was her coach. Dad was involved in her life. And you're listening to the Good Life Radio Show. I'm Danny Yamashiro. Carrington and Lindsay Luttrell are in studio with me. And I'm glad you're with us. Carrington is a part of a ministry called Impact 808. They do strongman feats, you know, challenging, encouraging their audiences. And Lindsay, she's involved with the young women in the church, in New Hope Leeward. She's a communications coordinator. And I'm glad you're with us today as we share in this heart-to-heart time. Lindsay, how did you become a Christian?
Our family grew up going to church, and then I think I was about 8, and we started to play sports competitively. So games were on Sunday, and we kind of stopped going to church. When I was in high school, so I always, you know, knew there was like a God, and I knew about Jesus and stuff. When I was in high school, I joined a Christian club, only because they go camping. Mm-hmm. And so my friends and I wanted to go camping.
A legitimate reason.
Right. We wanted to go camping without our parents, you know, so we did. And one of my friends shared his testimony, and it really just kind of touched my heart, and I had no idea about any of the things that he shared. And I just felt like, man, if God can change his life and do something like that in his life, then I want that too. Mm. So
it was in high school.
Mm-hmm.
What was life like after?
It was good for a while. And then I felt like everything kind of fell into place. And but it was only because I felt like Jesus gave me a boyfriend, which was like my best friend. And then a week later, he's like, oh, let's not date anymore. And I was like, oh, okay. And then I was like, oh, Jesus, you're not so good anymore. And I did the partying thing for a little bit, but I got over it really fast. And then after that, I just kind of felt empty. Hmm. And so I started hanging out with one of my friends, and there was just something really different about her. And the more I hung out with her, the more I realized, like, oh, she's really different. Like, there's just something about her, and I don't know what it is. And the more we hung out, the more I realized she's just really in love with the Lord. And I just remember saying, God, I want that. Like, I'm going to give you everything this time, and I want that. I want what she has. And so that's kind of what it was like after. And then since then, it's been crazy, all kinds of different things, but... I think that happened when I was about, I got saved when I was 17, and then I like rededicated my life when I was like 18, 19.
Carrington, let's go back. I mean, I'm getting two very unique and special stories. So how did you become a Christian? Let's go back to that. You were at the low point. You were considering something very drastic, and you said God reminded you about Zane. You thought what?
Well, I woke up the next morning, and I saw a book on my mom's bed. She was reading. She's been trying to get me to go to church for the longest time. You know, she just seen the lifestyle that I had, and she didn't want that. She wanted the best for me. But she had a Joel Osteen book on her bed called Every Day a Friday. And just so happened, I seen the book, and I opened up the book, and the first words that were in there just rocked me. Then I continued to read.
You remember those words?
Life is 10% what happens to you and 90% how you react to it.
And they caught you.
Blew me away. It just gave me revelation, which I didn't know at the time was revelation, but I was just rocked. And I was like, that's what I'm doing. I'm just thinking things way bigger than what they really are. So I continued to read this book, and it was just full of testimony and scripture of so many people's lives being changed by the power of God. And like what my wife was saying, it's crazy how I would read so many people's testimonies and it seemed way worse than mine, and how God showed up in their life. And I came to a realization as to why can't he do that in mine. So then I started going to church.
Was it a why can't he do that in mine, resentful way? Why can't you do that in mine? Or why can't he do that in mine?
It was encouragement. Yeah,
encouragement. He can do it in their life, maybe he can do it in mine too.
Yes, yes.
It was a hopeful thing then.
Yes, yes.
That's why, and then so you started going to church.
I started to go to church. Well, the scriptures in the book were speaking to me as well. So it encouraged me to start going to church. And then I asked my mom if I could go to the church that she was going to at the time. And I just went and never stopped going.
That was the beginning.
That was the beginning of what it is today.
Now, what happened in the process? So you went to church, then what?
I went to church. I would hide in the back. I wouldn't want to talk to anyone, just come to get filled, come to hear the word. And every time that I would go, it just seemed like the pastor was speaking directly to my heart. Everything that I would read scripture-wise, the points I'd put into process, and I would apply it into my life. And slowly I would see change. I would see change in my heart, change in my understanding, change in my thoughts. Just everything just started to change, and I would just slowly build this excitement of wanting to go back every weekend.
How did you envision, at that time, maybe one day I'll be a junior high pastor?
Not at all.
No?
Not at all.
What were you thinking back then as far as what your future might hold?
I had no idea at the time, actually. It was just more so like, oh, this is cool. Mm. Wow, this makes sense. I understand what he's saying. I understand what the scripture is speaking into my life, and I'm applying these points and I'm applying this scripture into my life, and I see change and I see good. You know, I see some sort of light at the end of the tunnel.
Mm. Carrington, how did that affect your loneliness? Remember you talked about that early on, you felt alone, how did this new experience knowing Christ affect that?
I just felt peace. I was at peace in the situations that I was in, because as I started to go to church more and more, and as I started to, I guess, grow at the time, I faced a lot of obstacles, especially not seeing my son for a good amount of time, no communication. And I was still at peace at that time. And I felt like the Lord spoke to me and told me it'll be okay. Trust in me. And I will bring your son back to you, And it was weird because I did it, I didn't just I'm gonna do it myself. But more so, okay, God, I trust you. Because at the point where I felt alone, I felt like I tried everything. Mm. I tried to do everything on my own, and nothing worked. Nothing worked, and that's why I felt so low at the time, is because I had nowhere else to go. So, God was my last option, and now it's my only option.
When you talk about trusting God, I think it's unusual for someone who doesn't have a father figure in their life. I think sociologically speaking, that can be shown. I don't have any data on that. That's just a general thought and observation. Because of the struggle with authority. Mm. And yet, maybe through coaches, you learned to listen to, you saw the value of, listening, being coachable, being teachable. But now you're applying that in your life and you see it changing. Almost, there's a prophetic sense too, where you sense God saying it's going to be okay. You can get your son back. You're going to be able to see him. I'm looking at Carrington, your life, and then looking at Lindsay. I'm wondering, how did you meet?
Oh, me?
You can share.
So, as I kept going back to church, I felt like the Lord put on my heart to get into a small group or to get into an Ohana group, so that I felt like the Lord wanted to take my growth into another level. So I wanted to get connected, and it's funny because they didn't put me into an Ohana group or a small group. They led me to a young adults ministry. They basically told me that, oh, how old are you? I was like, oh, this age. And they were like, oh, I think you'd be better with people in your age. I was like, okay. So they sent me to, but they directed me to young adults ministry, which was called Fuse, which is called Fuse. And it's crazy. I just started attending, and my wife was one of the pastors, teachers. And that's basically where I met her.
What did you think when you saw Carrington Latrell, Lindsay? Or how did you feel?
It was funny. I used to see him come early and set up all the time. And
by the way, I like to ask this because, you know, every coming together has its own special, you know, unique flavor to
it. Yeah. He would set up all the time, and he used to always set up in a tank top, and he has really big arms. And so, like, everybody would always talk about him at Fuse, like, when he was set up, and all the girls, like, were in love with him and stuff. And true story, I had to, like, have conversations when we got married. Like, when we started dating, I had to, like, sit down with girls.
It's the guns, man.
And I just remember,
strong,
like,
man feet, yeah. Strong man feet.
I remember looking at him like, who is this guy think he is? Like, he just set up in his tank top every week and whatever. And then I just started hearing stories about him, and just people kept saying, oh, he has a crazy testimony. And so I remember just one night we were in the parking lot after Fuse, I think, and I just straight up asked him, like, everybody says you have a crazy testimony, like, tell me your story. So
I'm gonna interject right there, because I think that's a perfect place. When we come back from our break, I want to hear more about this first initial conversation that Lindsay Latrell had with, well, I guess it would be your one day going to be husband, Carrington, when you straight up asked him, everybody says. I think that would be an attractive quality, isn't it, Carrington? Someone just straight up asks you like that. There's no fluff, no hiding. She's a straight up person. You're a straight up guy. Okay. When we come back, more with Lindsay. Lindsay, I do want to know. I want to know how he responded. And yeah, he's got sleeves on today, so he's not showing off those guns, but you can kind of see it, like, protruding from the you know, the linen there. When we come back, more from Carrington and Lindsay.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath the barren sky, leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
Have you heard the stories on the Good Life Hawaii radio show with Danny Yamashiro and his guests?
Yup. I listen to Danny's show every day. Those testimonies inspire me in my life at work, with my family, and in my relationship with God.
Did you ever visit thegoodlifehawaii.com? There's all kinds of resources there. Danny Yamashiro has interviewed hundreds of guests on subjects like parenting, business, relationships, depression, overcoming addiction, hope, and so much more.
As a matter of fact, I have. Did you know there are videos where Danny prays for your family, your finances, even a video I've used to help lead my friends to Christ?
Wow. And I hear Danny is offering special opportunities and benefits for his Good Life Partnership Club members.
Yep. Go to thegoodlifehawaii.com and remember to connect with Danny on Facebook. Follow him on Twitter, too. That's Danny Yamashiro.
I'm going to visit thegoodlifehawaii.com today.
A healthy smile can make all the difference, but where do you go for healthy teeth? Dr. Kerry Ishihara is a specialist in general dentistry in Wahiawa. With more than 20 years of experience, Dr. Ishihara serves the people of Wahiawa, including a special focus on military families. As a lieutenant colonel in the U.S. Army Reserves, he understands the needs of soldiers and families in our military community. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is proud to have Dr. Kerry Ishihara as an anchor sponsor. Call him at 621-8281. That's 621-8281.
Do you need a specialist in cosmetic dentistry? Someone who can bring the best in you from the inside out. Let Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa help you. His warmth, compassion, and expertise provides all the assurance needed for your dental needs. Visit Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry in Kaneohe. Call him at 235-4525 to make an appointment today. That's 235-4525. Or visit jeffmiyazawa.com. Windward Family Dentistry, where a lifetime of smiles is created.
In times of economic challenge, opportunities arise. All we need is someone to say, "I believe in you." Michael Beasley, a senior executive of Kaiani Team Aloha, has seen Kaiani products improve the quality of people's lives. Michael Beasley says Kaiani's mission is to empower people globally to experience better health, wealth, and a lot of fun. Contact Michael Beasley at 277-9528. Live outside the 9-to-5 workday. Become the CEO of your own business while Kaiani handles the details. That's Michael Beasley at 277-9528. 277-9528. Active lifestyles are promoted for healthy living. There are times when injuries take place. In some cases, surgical care is necessary. That's the time to call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi with offices at both Palimomi and Kuakini. Call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi at 484-2042, 484-2042.
Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guest.
So he comes to church early every week. He's setting up. He wears a tank top. He's, he was an athlete, and he's still an athlete, and, his muscles are bulging out, and the girls are looking at him, and they're thinking, wow, who is that guy? And the word is out that he has an incredible testimony, an awesome story. So Lindsay, who is a part of the leadership of the ministry, she has got to know. She wants to know what's going on. You're listening to The Good Life Radio Show. I'm Danny Yamashiro. Carrington and Lindsay Luttrell are in studio with me. You can find out more about our program, thegoodlifehawaii.com. And they are part of a ministry called Explicit Youth, these very dynamic youth conferences for various ages and parents, explicityouth.com. That's how you can find out more about this ministry. So, Lindsay, what happened when you talked to him?
He shared his story, and I don't know, I just thought that was cool. I didn't think anything of him, or just thought, oh, that's like crazy, he has a crazy testimony. So yeah, that was kind of it. Nothing, no big revelation, like he's supposed to be my husband or anything, just like, oh, okay, cool, like, good job God, like, okay.
You don't seem to have been overwhelmingly impressed.
No, I mean, it was a crazy testimony. But yeah, I mean, I didn't think anything of him. I just thought, oh, cool, like God's changing his life.
Yeah, and, you know. Yeah. So how about you? Well, I mean, hey, after a while, I mean, something happened because you're husband and wife today. So what took place after that?
After the testimony?
Yeah, after you shared with her and...
Well, I would have to step back maybe several months prior. She was speaking on stage, and it's crazy because she was speaking on a Valentine's Day message, and she was sharing her testimony, and she was sharing just how her friends were supporting her in her singleness. But basically, she was bashing on my birthday. So I'm born on Valentine's Day, and I felt like, oh, how is this, Pastor? She's bashing on my birthday. But then she said something of what her friends would tell her to encourage her, to comfort her, as to like, oh, maybe Jesus is working on your husband. And something in me said, oh yeah, I'm being worked on. And I was like, oh, that's weird. Okay. So I had that mentality in my mind as to, was that Jesus or was that not Jesus? Do I move forward on that or do I just wait? So it kind of went forward, and it was crazy when she approached me. I felt like she was pursuing me. So it was like...
Lindsay is rolling her eyes. She is shaking her head. Not nodding. She's shaking her head. Okay, continue. Brother.
So I was over here thinking like... when I was told that she had a friend, I guess, at the time. And I was like, oh, that can't be then. How is that going to be my wife if she has... a boyfriend or a friend or whatever. And I was like, okay, I won't like pursue that, and I'll just like let it pan out, let it play out as far as Jesus doing what he needs to do. So she came up, she approached me, and she was direct, and I did like that. I like that quality in her, and but it caught me off guard. I ain't gonna lie, it caught me off guard. And in the back of my head, she didn't know all of this was going on. It was, to me, it was like she was pursuing me, and like God is doing something. So it, I don't know, I had this weird feeling going on, maybe like butterflies, I guess. I have no idea. But that's kind of how things started to pique interest, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What about forgiveness? What about Zane? What did you said? You know, that God had given you a sense of assurance that one day, you know, you have him back, your son. But what had to take place before that happened?
My trust in God and forgiveness. I felt like I was moving in the direction that God was leading me to. I was doing the things that he wanted me to do, and I was in the places that he needed me to be in. And I felt like everything was good until one day in my sleep, I was given a vision, and all I could see was just my dad's face. And I woke up weeping. I woke up weeping because I knew I had so much bitterness, tension, and anger towards my dad that I really didn't know that I had. And the Lord told me that I needed to forgive him. And it was crazy. It was crazy because I knew my dad didn't know any of these emotions and feelings that I had towards him, but I would have to have that conversation with him. But I believe that the Lord told me that that needed to take place before I can receive the blessings.
The blessings of having Zane back.
The blessings of having Zane back. The blessings of moving forward in what God has planned for me.
Take us back. What happened? What was it like? Talking with your dad.
It was uncomfortable. I ain't gonna lie.
Did you make the call?
I did make the call. I had to make the call. I had to arrange everything.
How did he respond?
Not how I wanted it or how I envisioned it to plan out. I expected it to be like, hey, Dad, you know, I had all these emotions towards you and I'm sorry. You know, I'm sorry and can you forgive me? But it didn't happen that way. It was more so in an apology and him trying to tell me how to live my life. So there was some sort of...
An apology on your part or on his part?
I apologized to him and...
For all your emotions?
Yes. And I guess I felt like it was overlooked and he just wanted to share some of his wisdom or his input and basically tell me what I need to do in my life.
So it's like he missed it.
Yeah.
Huh? He missed it.
Yeah.
It takes guts to share what you're sharing because when we experience that, we don't like to talk about it because it's like a major fumble. Yeah. If we use football terminology, it's a fumble that you didn't recover. Mm. So you didn't get it back. It's just an odd, awkward feeling. The thing is, Carrington, people are in that place right now. They know they need to make a call. They know they need to send an email. They know that something has to happen as they feel prompted by God, but they're scared. Nobody wants to fumble. Nobody wants to fumble knowing that you can't recover it either. So the fact that you're having this feeling, I want to just take a moment there. And when we come back from our break, go back to what happened. Because I sense that something happened. I don't know exactly how it all played out. But would you be willing to take us there and explain what happened? Your dad. His dad is going to... he's apologizing. You ever feel like you're apologizing when someone else should be apologizing? I think that's how Carrington felt, and more so, he's being lectured. Yeah. So something was missed in the communique, so to speak. If you're there, God has you listening to this story because it's a divine destiny in your life to hear this now. Because there's a point of encouragement, there's a point of transformation that takes place. And Carrington and Lindsay Latrell, stay with us, we'll be back.
In the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath a barren sky, leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
Danny Yamashiro Ministries presents the Good Life Partnership Club. Join today and receive Danny Yamashiro's inspirational biography, Paradise Calls, as an ebook, a slice of the Good Life CD by mail, a monthly personal letter from Danny that include inspiring devotionals, insider's access of new stories to share, and quarterly newsletters featuring guests, resources, and opportunities for ministry. Plus, a personal invitation to have dinner with Danny Yamashiro this year and a special Christmas gift exclusively for club members. All this for a minimum monthly commitment of just $25 per month at thegoodlifehawaii.com. For less than $1 per day, the Good Life Partnership Club membership will enrich you and multiply by spreading the hope of Jesus Christ to millions across the United States and the world. People like your family and friends. Join today at thegoodlifehawaii.com and click Partners. That's thegoodlifehawaii.com.
Hi, this is Danny Yamashiro. Many people tell me how the Good Life Hawaii radio show has made a difference in their lives, how they've shared our free podcast with friends and family from thegoodlifehawaii.com. Others have connected on Facebook and Twitter. This is made possible through our corporate sponsors. Mahalo to Wahiwa dentist Dr. Kerry Ishihara, Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry, Burt's Union Service Station on School Street, Michael Beasley of Kaiani, Fran Villarmia Kahavai of Properties International Limited, Chinan and Arinaga Financial Group Incorporated, LNS Marine Services Consultants, Arsina Kailihiva of Purium, and orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi. To find out how to become a corporate sponsor, click partners at thegoodlifehawaii.com. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show, Hawaii's only local inspirational Christian talk show on 99.5 The Word, weekdays at 2 p.m. and 12 midnight, providing opportunities to connect family and friends with Jesus Christ.
Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guest.
ExplicitYouth.com. You can hear more about that and about the ministry of Carrington and Lindsay Luttrell and their speaking ministry and how God is using them to reach young people. You may have young people in your family that could really benefit from the life-changing stories that this dear couple is sharing. You're listening to the Good Life Radio Show. I'm Danny Yamashiro. Carrington, before our break, you were talking about, you know, you reach out to your dad. You knew that God was prompting you, and you did. It didn't turn out the way that you were expecting. So take us from there. What happened?
So I apologize. And basically he was trying to give me advice as to being a man or to finding certain things. So he told me that if I find a significant other, it would complete my life. And I was like, And then he started talking bad about my mom. And I was like, oh, I don't know if that's a good idea. So during that whole process, I was praying to God. I was praying and I was like, Lord, please comfort my spirit, because I kind of want to, you know, put him in check as far as to say, hey, you know, I don't think you did the best job as a father, and I don't think you should be talking bad about my mom, you know, and that I should look for someone to complete my life. So yeah, it's kind of a rough transaction as far as apologizing and whatnot. I had to bite my tongue. The Lord made me bite my tongue and just endure whatever was coming my way, but to forgive that as well.
Even that.
Yeah.
Even that.
Yeah.
Forgiveness upon forgiveness.
Yeah.
What happened in 2013? What was that year like for you?
2013... was just a crazy year where I experienced God. It seemed like all the years prior, all the hardships, the trials, everything that I faced, every situation that I faced, all the pain, the anger, bitterness, and whatever it was, 2013, God showed me how trusting in Him and following Him and being obedient to Him looks like. And the more that I was obedient, the more that I would listen, tune into God, and be obedient to His voice, the more that He would move me, the more that He would bless me. And it was just crazy.
What happened, Lindsay, at Starbucks between the two of you?
Carrington, we were dating, and we had never, we talked about marriage once, I think, just in the beginning of our relationship. I think I asked him, when we started dating, like, hey, the purpose of our relationship is, like, to see if we're going to get married, right? Like,
and he's just asked him.
Yeah. Because I was
let's not waste time.
Yeah, that's basically how I felt. Like, I had been through this terrible season, and I was just like, I'm not doing this. Like, I'm not going to give my heart to someone if I'm not going to marry them, or, you know, it's not purposeful. So I just asked him, and then he's like, yep. And that was it. That was the only conversation we ever had. And the day that he proposed, he asked me to go to Starbucks with him, to do devotions. Yeah, yeah. Devotions. Mm-hmm. And I thought it was weird because I was going to see him in a few hours. It was New Year's Eve and he was going to come over to my dad's house. So I was going to see him and I was like, oh, okay, cool. Like, I'm going to see you soon, but sure. Like, so we went and we...
I like your style. I like your style, Lindsay.
We went and we had coffee and I was sitting outside and he went inside to buy me a drink and it was... I just remember thinking, like, I was really irritated because it was so hot and I'm like, I can't believe we're sitting outside and, like, I'm sweating. Like, it's so hot out here. And that's all I could think about.
And Starbucks is cool inside, right?
I didn't have enough courage. There was too many people.
So I had no idea. And I started reading, and as I was reading, I felt like the Lord just, I don't even remember if it had anything to do with what I read, but I just felt like the Lord said, he's going to be your husband. And I had heard the Lord wrong before about this whole, like, husband thing, and so I was like, okay, Lord, I don't know, like, I don't know if I'm hearing things, or I don't know if I just made that up, like, whatever. And so I just kind of dismissed it. And the next thing I know, he came out, he put my drink on the table, and he opened this box, and he's down on his knee, and I was like, what the heck's going on? Like, are you kidding me right now? Like, I have no idea. That's what happened.
How did you feel? I mean, you said you lacked courage to do it on the inside of Starbucks. I know it's a, you know, it's a nerve-wracking moment, so describe.
Yeah, I was pretty nervous. I was really nervous, actually, because I had never thought about marriage prior to actually proposing. So I had all of those built up emotions in me, and I kind of waited till last minute to do this. So what had happened was, I felt like the Lord told me when she was speaking on stage, and the whole process of dating was to confirm that within myself. Because I needed a lot of confirmation as far as to make a commitment that big. So we dated, and I had to seek God, and I had to fast and do all of these things just to get confirmation as far as if this marriage is a goal. And I kind of pushed it off all the way until the last day. So the last day, the day that I proposed, I bought the ring. I arranged our friends to be there. I arranged where we're going to meet last minute, and I did it on that day. And we come to Starbucks, and it's crowded. And I'm like, I don't want to make a scene, and I don't want to be that, like, oh, you know, so cute. And I kind of wanted to be discreet, but yet make it intimate and make mm-hmm. it just mm-hmm. special for us too. But there's a lot of people around. So, yeah, I was nervous, and I ended up doing it outside, so proposing outside.
See, you know how to lower the boom, brother. And you did it. How did you respond? I mean, obviously you said yes, but what was your response like at that moment?
I think I was in shock. Like, I had always dreamed of being married, and, you know, like, I just, that was my dream, and I remember looking at the ring because I thought it had a lot of diamonds in it, and I was like, this can't be real, like, this has to be fake. And I was just in shock. Like, I had no words. I always have something to say, I always have an opinion about everything, and I couldn't say anything. And I just, and then I remember he proposed and he kissed me and sat down, like, didn't even put the ring on my finger, like, just sat down. And so I remember thinking, like, are you not going to put the ring on my finger? Like, I said yes. So, yeah, it was crazy.
Hmm. Carrington, a parting shot to somebody today who's listening and forgiveness is hard. You've seen God take you through the process and what's on the other side. A word of encouragement to someone who's wanting to get there, but they got to go through this forgiveness part first.
I'd say to just keep fighting. Fight the good fight, because the glory is there. Jesus is always with you. Just fight on.
Fight on. Fight on. That's what they say at USC. Fight on. USC Trojan. Bob Carrington Latrell is saying that right now. Stay at it. Stay at it. Fight on. He's seen what God can do. And as you let go and allow God, didn't the Lord give you grace to control yourself? The Lord will give you grace, my friend, to not only move forward, but as you surrender to Him, the strength to forgive. I've needed it. Carrington's needed it. I'm sure Lindsay in her life has needed it. And if you need it, we're with you, and the Lord is with us together. Thank you, Carrington. Lindsay, thank you for sharing. By the way, you can hear more from them and about their ministry at explicityouth.com. It's an incredible conference of among young people, series of conferences that is taking place. I hope you've been encouraged by our time together. It's the story of Carrington and Lindsay Latrell, again, explicityouth.com. You know, there's no better time than right now to share the love of Jesus with someone near you. And if you haven't done so, this is the perfect moment for you to open your heart to Jesus Christ. Lindsay did it. Carrington did it at some point in their life. Maybe this is your moment. Go to thegoodlifehawaii.com. Click Get to Know Jesus. I've got a special video presentation for you there. If you'd like to help us with your financial support to make a donation, go to thegoodlifehawaii.com and click Partners. Thank you in advance for that. Colossians 3:23. Whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men. It's always a blessing to be with you. A special thank you to Carrington and Lindsay Latrell. ExplicitYouth.com. Find out more. Until next time, along with my technical producer, Chaz Ontai, guest coordinator, Jamie Lee Kwai, and web designer, Arlen Nagata, I'm Danny Yamashiro. Remember, the Lord is with you. Let Him unleash your God-given purpose today.
Thank you for listening in on today's broadcast of The Good Life with host Danny Yamashiro. We hope that today's program has been a blessing for you. The Good Life radio program is listener supported, and we'd like to encourage you to pray about becoming a sponsor or donor. Your support makes it possible for us to continue to minister to God's people through The Good Life. To become a sponsor or to make a donation, please visit thegoodlifehawaii.org. That's thegoodlifehawaii.org. And may God richly bless you with The Good Life.